Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott, episode 15 for February 23rd, 2007. The Office UI Team. It's time for Windows Weekly from his ribbon-barred fortress in beautiful Massachusetts. Right. Paul Thurrott is on. You got all ribbon bars on all the windows. He's on the horn here via Skype, and we've got our first interview today.
Finally.
No, this is a good one too. We've mentioned Jensen Harris's blog before. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Jensen Harris and Jacob Jaffe, our guests today?
Sure. These are guys I talk to a lot, especially over the past couple of years. Jacob is the director at Microsoft Office, and Jensen Harris is the group program manager of the Office user experience team.
So he was the guy responsible for the ribbon bar.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So he's a great guy, and they're both great guys. I mean, they're just fun people, and Jensen, especially, I've been talking to him a lot about the UI over the past couple of years now. And, you know, he briefed me at PDC a few years back. And, you know, it's neat. I mean, we'll probably get into this, but I mean, nobody expected Office to be particularly exciting. It never has been. You know, it's
kind of in some ways a more interesting story than Vista, frankly.
Oh, yeah. And especially when you think back to PDC, I mean, PDC 2003. It's the Professional Developers Conference. Microsoft has one of these roughly every 2 years. It's always aimed at the future, which is why it's interesting to me. They're always talking about the next version of whatever, you know, Windows, Windows Server, Office, you know. And at PDC 2003, that was the coming out party for Windows Vista, which was called Longhorn at the time. And it was a huge event, and it was a lot of excitement and all that stuff. So 2 years went by, and Vista never shipped. And when 2005 rolled around, they had another PDC, and it was going to be all Vista again. But the interesting thing is that's where they rolled out the UI, this ribbon UI for Office 2007, and it just blew everybody away. And it was absolutely the talk of the show, no doubt about it. So everyone went there thinking we were going to talk about Vista, Vista, Vista. And all anyone ever wanted to talk about was Office 2007.
Isn't that funny? You know,
it's... I know. I still feel weird saying that. You know, the notion that Office could be exciting in any way is almost ludicrous.
And but, yet, you know, really, if you think about it, people don't use Vista. I mean, they use some features of Vista, but sure. They use Office. I mean, Office is the tool for probably more than half of everybody who uses Windows. Most of their time is spent in Office, right?
Yeah, it's got to be the most often used software worldwide. And, you know, it's interesting. The day that we're recording this, you know, Google announced their Google Apps suite, right? These web-based applications and services that are sort of Office competitors. And, you know, that's sort of interesting to me. But I use Office every day, and I can't even imagine not having that level of functionality. And now that you have Office 2007, where it's just so much easier to find things. I mean, I was toying around with the ribbon here a little while ago in Word, and I was, you know, putting pictures into documents and, you know, and moving text around and all that stuff. And it's so easy. It's almost laughable. I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's struggled with Office or any application over the years will just really appreciate that stuff.
Well, let's get them on the line. Jensen Harris and Jacob Jaffe, they're on the phone from Redmond, from Microsoft's offices. So I'm going to figure that Office 2007 began sometime shortly after Office 2003 came out.
Yeah, well, it probably began as soon as we were, you know, done really with most of the hard decisions for Office 2003. So there's always sort of that transition period between the part where we're mostly just fixing the last bugs and sort of putting the last coat of paint on, And when we start to turn our attention towards what problems do we want to solve in the next version. And so I think it was really for the UI team, we got together for the first time in August of 2003. And that's not to say that there wasn't some research that was being done before that. And obviously we'd started to collect a lot of information about what a, you know, enhanced user experience for Office might be like. But the team really got together for the first time fully in August of 2003.
And when would you guys say that the idea for a new user interface first gelled or came together? How long ago was that?
We've been working on improving the Office user interface for years. I mean, that had been a focus that that had been applied to Office 2000 with the personalized menus, and even the Office Assistant and Clippy back in the day was an attempt to make the Office interface easier to use. I think one of the things which has been different about Office 2007 is that for the first time, we actually... Are you guys getting hammering?
Yes, it sounds like someone's breaking through your door.
They're building it right now. It's amazing.
we're banging it out right now, as a matter of fact.
A few final bugs. They're just kind of squash. What is that knocking? Is somebody trying to get in, or are you actually putting someone...
I think it's in the office next door. Somebody's putting up a picture of some sort. Yeah, right?
Perfect timing.
Half the campus is under construction anyway.
It's actually, we recently, a lot of us actually ended up sort of rotating or moving offices, and people are, I think, still getting a little bit settled in.
Yeah, exactly.
For a minute, I thought it was the box where you stuck Clippy after you killed him.
Trying to get out.
He's never going to escape, trust us. He's in a much deeper, darker box.
He's in a safe place.
So as I was saying, it's been a focus for years to try to make Office easier to use. But the difference in Office 2007 is, for the first time, we let ourselves think holistically about what if we could go beyond menus and toolbars. I mean, for years, the UI improvements made to Office were just incremental improvements on top of the existing and menu toolbar structure, which was designed 20 years ago and wasn't designed for software that has as many features as Office does and as much richness as Office does. And so I think the mental shift that it took was the thought about what if we could just build something better? What if we freed ourselves up from the constraints of the past to really imagine the optimal user interface for Office, and then did the planning and the research and the design work to make that happen. And I think that's something that we really started envisioning as we finished up Office 2003, and the decision was made to build a world-class user interface and design team in Office to take on this project.
What does that look like? Do you brainstorm at first? Do you do research first? Where do you begin to look at a new user interface?
Yeah, well, it's this extraordinarily hard to fathom process. The first day that you come into work and you're like, you could do anything in the world. What are you going to do? You know, in a sense, it's almost paralyzing how many possible choices there are. And the very first step is just to look at anything that was possible. You know, we looked at the furthest reaches of sort of theoretical interaction design. You know, things like fluid interfaces that sort of work the way Minority Report worked. Or speech, you know, is the time really ripe for speech interface or social interfaces? Or lots of usage of animation. Just, you know, what's going on in the academic world? What's going on in the commercial world? Like, what are all of the way out there ideas? And, of course, you also start with the research. Like, what are the problems that people are actually having? When people say that a program is bloated, what do they mean by bloated? When people say it's harder to find features than it was 10 years ago, what does that actually mean? And then the third piece of it is you have to have a set of beliefs as a design team. The very first thing that we did in terms of actually started to make decisions about the new UI was to lay out a set of design tenets that we believed in as a team and that we would use to guide us through the process of designing and decision-making.
You need a way to kind of a metric of some kind to say whether this works according to what you're trying to do.
That's exactly right. And you want the feeling of the program to be as if it was designed by a single human voice, not as designed by committee, but really that it's design decisions are made in a consistent way, that we believed in certain things, and even though it's designed by many people, not just by one person, needs to have the feeling of hanging together as if it was crafted by a single artist. And so these design tenets were, some cases, simple things. Like one of them was, straightforward is better than clever. And that reflected our belief that automatic user interfaces, a la Clippy, would you like to write a letter, are
too found clever.
To be too clever.
Yep.
And so we really wanted to build a sharp tool that you could learn to use that would get richer as you know more about it, and that wasn't trying to always guess what you were doing. And so we had a set of those design tenets that helped us evaluate designs as we went along.
Now, I think that Leo believes this as well. I mean, obviously, the UI you folks arrived at is incredible, and it appears to work very well. But obviously, that wasn't the first, you know, iteration of this. I mean, how did this thing evolve over time, and how did you get anyone to agree to let you change something as important as Office?
That's a great question. You know, the ribbon itself, it was funny. I was listening to a video from one of the original, actually the original research video of the folks who did their first public release of the mouse in 1968. These are actually the videos from Menlo Park in California.
Oh, Doug Engelbart, yeah.
Yeah, Doug Engelbart, where they first released the mouse. And one of the things they said about the mouse was a very funny 10-second clip of audio where he says, "Now, I don't know why we call it the mouse. I'm sort of embarrassed about that. We just sort of called it that, and the name stuck." And the ribbon is very much the same way. We all had a great chuckle about that because that's pretty much the way things worked around here, too. The actual idea that morphed into the ribbon was that if you imagine sort of a medieval scroll in which all of your features were sort of on this scroll and you sort of wound through them like a giant ribbon of features, that was the thing that we sort of called the ribbon. You know, we had names for each of the designs. Well, that idea was so dumb that we didn't even bother to really draw it. It was something that only existed sort of in my office as part of talking about it.
Somebody's been playing too much Dungeons and Dragons, obviously.
Yeah, well, you're just throwing out ideas that you think might be interesting.
But you have to have that freedom to do that.
That's right. And that's part of what it means to design a great interface is you have to have an environment in which you're free to throw around ideas and try weird things and see what works and see what doesn't work. And that design, you know, the next version of that, actually the first one we drew, said, well, instead of scrolling through a big medieval scroll of features, you would want little sticking points along the way. Like you'd want to be able to say, well, jump straight to this part of the scroll and straight to this part of the scroll. And then the next thing you say is, well, is there an interaction design that people already understand that represent jumping to parts of something? And that's, you start drawing tabs. And so the ribbon just sort of organically came out of that idea. But it was one of several ideas that we strongly looked at, and one of probably 200 that we drew in some detail or evaluated in some detail. So, you know, some of the stuff was really, really out there. And some of it was more incremental. And we had to decide how we could get something that still felt familiar. You know, we didn't want people to sit down the first day and be like, oh, my God, what is this? You know, where did my office go? It needed to feel familiar, yet it needed to be different enough to solve the problems that people were having, you know, within the constraints of menus and toolbars. And so the ribbon really felt like the right trade-off between familiar and new.
There must have been some resistance, maybe not in your team, but at the higher level, corporate level. And certainly was my reaction initially was, you're going to make us relearn how to use Office? I mean, that must have been a little bit scary.
Well, of course, it's a little bit scary because, you know, when you look at big interface shifts in the history of computing, there's never been one that has been done to a user base as large as Microsoft Office. You know, we have 450 million users. And so, of course, I wouldn't say that there's fear because you can't approach it with fear, but you can approach it with a degree of seriousness, which understands that you're not changing it just because it's fun to change it. Right. You're changing it because you want to improve the efficiency of people. You want to improve productivity. And I think we knew all along that if we evaluated the designs correctly and built iteration into the process, that we would be able to make the right decisions so that we knew that people wouldn't face a very steep learning curve when they saw the new software. You know, for years, Microsoft was sort of criticized for, you know, it takes us three versions to get something right. By version three, we really nail it. And we built three versions of iteration into the schedule and the design of Office 2007. We knew there were some things we were going to try and that they weren't going to work, and we were going to need to build them again, and they still weren't going to be quite right, and then we would need to build them again. And many of the features in the new UI, we actually did build three full times before we shipped them and evaluate each time, is this right? Are people having trouble with this? Were we too clever? And go back and reevaluate the design against our original design tenets and fix it. I think it's fair to say that a large portion of people outside of Microsoft and probably some inside of Microsoft were not expecting the Office team to be the one that sort of pushed the boundary of interface design. And we're very proud of that because we think that we actually have a chance to be very influential in helping point the way towards what's next after menus and toolbars, because we're sort of at the forefront of fully featured applications that people use as just part of their everyday work.
Yeah, and a lot of, as you pointed out, a lot of people use, and so a lot of people are going to see this new UI. Were there? Can you give me some examples of ideas that you had that you rejected? Maybe of ideas that you had to reject that you would have liked to have kept.
Yeah, well, there was this sense early on, I think, that we wanted the UI to feel very very in motion, I'll say. So we wanted to use animations and things to illustrate, like if you were switching tabs, well, we should do a fancy animation that would sort of bridge the gap between the home tab and the insert tab, that would sort of make the product feel very modern and, you know, really give you some great eye candy. And we actually had much of that implemented. We had fancy designs. We had cross-fading buttons. We had all sorts of eye candy actually implemented in the builds. And what we found out was, although it was delicious eye candy, it actually hampered some parts of the interaction design. For instance, cross-fading visuals made them feel sluggish. An animation between two different tabs, while it might look great, becomes annoying if you have to switch tabs, you know, 30 times a day as just part of doing your work, and it slows you down. And so there were certain trade-offs that we were making in terms of really wanting it to, you know, feel fluid and realizing that Office is still a tool. And in the end, it's going to be measured both by how beautiful it is and how well it works and how well it helps you get your work done. And so there were some trade-offs we made where I think, you know, gosh, I sort of miss some of that eye candy, but in the end it was the right decision because the product ultimately works better, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Do you see this as the foundation for the future? I mean, are you going to I'm not looking for specifics on how you might extend it. Obviously, you want to add it to other Office applications and so forth. I mean, do you see this as a foundation that can withstand the test of time?
It's so hard to predict, you know, in 20 years, are we going to be still talking about the ribbon as something that is still around and relevant the way menus and toolbars were relevant for 20 years. But we do think it forms the foundation for the next decade of work that we're going to do on top of Office. And one of the unique things about the Office UI is that we've licensed it to a number of third parties. at last count, I think, do you remember how many we have, Jacob?
I don't remember the total count. I think it's in, well, in the hundreds.
Yeah. There's a number of third parties who have licensed the UI for use in their own programs because they find that it will solve some of the same problems that we have within their programs as well. So I do think it's sort of the next logical step beyond menus and toolbars world. It really, is it appropriate for all applications? No, probably not. You know, would Notepad benefit from having the ribbon? Maybe not. It only has 12 commands in it, and actually just a top-level menu works pretty well for it. But there are some other components of the UI which we haven't talked about yet, such as live preview, that very well may be applicable to a large number of software problems, regardless of even if they have the ribbon or not. I mean, we believe that live preview, which is the way that when you hover over something in the ribbon, it shows you exactly what the result of that,
oh, I love that.
And is going to be
yeah.
in a document. And we've implemented that in hundreds of places across Office, and that's something we're going to look to. That forms one of the bases of our belief in interaction design, and you're going to see that show up a bunch more in Office in the future.
Was the chief task of the ribbon to, it sounds like, to take a huge number of commands and simplify user access to them? I mean, was that the goal that you had there? Was it to expose certain stuff and to kind of hide other stuff?
I wouldn't think about it as showing and hiding as much as it is about, number one, giving us a chance to do some reorganization. So if you think back to the very first version of Word, or Word 2.0, let's say, which is the first sort of widely popular version of Word for Windows. And if you look back at the top-level menu structure of Word 2.0, well, what was it? File, Edit, View, Insert, Format, Tools, Table, Window, Help. Exactly the same as Word 2003. Yet in between 1989, when that program was designed, before the Berlin Wall came down, and 2003, when Word 2003 came out, there were so many new capabilities that were added to Office, graphics and collaboration and even things like mail merge, that there was no sense that even would exist back in the late 1980s. And so the first thing the ribbon gave us a chance to do was just start over with a fresh start with the benefit of hindsight, of knowing, in a sense, how Word did turn out and the kinds of features that were added to it. The second thing that the ribbon let us do was something that we've called results-oriented design, but what it really means is showing the results of a feature visually as opposed to making you learn all of the individual commands to use that feature. So what I mean by that is if you imagine you're in Word and you insert a picture into the document and you want that picture to be in the upper right-hand corner with text sort of flowing around it. Well, that was something that was possible in many versions of Word, I think back to Word 6.0. But actually getting that working and getting the picture aligned to the margin and anchored to the page and with the text flowing around it took knowing five different Word commands that were separated all over the product. What the ribbon and live preview and galleries, which is the way that we show visual representations, sort of thumbnails of different results in the product, what each of those things allow us to do is say, well, we can actually build something called a position gallery. And a position gallery is this very visual sort of display that shows the nine most common places where people might position a picture on the page. And you can sort of hover over them and see the picture live in the document move to the different corners. And then if you click it, then Word goes ahead behind the scenes and sets up all the commands to sort of do the action. And you don't have to learn those five commands in order to get the result that you're looking for. And so, in a sense, it's not about hiding commands as much as it is building the UI at a higher level, building less command-based UI, and building UI that sort of conforms more to the kinds of things that people are actually trying to get done with the product, sort of presenting them in a more visual, human way, as opposed to in a sort of we've mapped this command line interface to a GUI, which was, you know, in a sense, what menus were.
If I were able to sort of summarize all the richness of what Jensen just offered in terms of the underlying goals, I mean, I think what we're seeing in terms of, you know, the end result is that, you know, that people are fundamentally able to get better results more quickly using 2007 Office. And when we talk about those better results, it includes the more quickly, you know, just with a couple clicks and picks, being able to take advantage of features that they already know, but also, of course, getting better results in the sense of getting more out of the applications by actually having more of the functionality exposed to them, and for it as a virtue of some of the elements that Jensen talked about, have it be more straightforward, because now I'm not focusing on what the name of the command is, but I'm focused on what the result is that I'm actually trying to get.
Yeah, I think I know Jensen might have told me this, and Jacob, we probably had a similar discussion at some point. But you know, every version of Office, it seems like you folks would get a list of features that people were looking for, and a lot of those features were already still in the product, or already in the product. You know, and a lot of the improvements here are just aimed at you know, letting people find the stuff that's been there.
Yeah, it's funny actually how many of the top features that we hear back from customers that they love about Office 2007 are features that we added in previous versions. And we have this data, which is called the Customer Experience Improvement Program, which is an opt-in program that we get billions of pieces of data from people that tell us about what features they use and how often. And it's really sort of our instrumentation layer for the program. And we can see, actually, not just that we're, you know, anecdotally hearing from people that they use certain features a lot more, we can actually see in the data some features that have just caught fire in the new UI. A great example of that is adding a watermark to a Word document, like just putting the simple thing that says draft sort of in ghosted text behind a page, is something that got fairly low usage in Office 2003 and has, through no, you know, work on the feature other than exposing it in a better way in the UI, has caught fire and become one of the more popular features in Word. We have dozens of those where people are starting to use and unlock the power of features that we built, in some cases, 10 years ago. I think one of the really fun things about 2007 is that you don't just get all the great features we built in 2007. Of course, there are a lot. But you also get the features we built in 2003 and Office XP and Office 2000.
I'd say, and again, this is Jacob, I'd say that end piece is a really key point, because certainly getting exposure to more functionality, meaning the functionality that I don't necessarily use or wasn't necessarily familiar with, as Jensen mentioned, and we're seeing it in the data, people are able to experience that and take more advantage of the features and the functionality that's available in the Office applications. But even beyond that, even simple commands that people tended to use every day, like changing the margins in a Word document, we're hearing from them how much more confident, how much more mastery they feel over and with the applications. Instead of, you know, having a three-tab experience that's asking me to set a bunch of knobs and click a bunch of dials around just getting to a simple, you know, narrow margin or a wide margin, now through the ribbon interface, being able to just simply click and pick, you know, through page setup, to be able to just simply say, I want a narrow margin or I want a wide margin, without having to set 17 different dials in order to get that result.
Have you guys gotten any feedback yet? I mean, Office has only been out, for less than a month, but obviously it was beta tested for a long time and you finalized it late last year. I mean, have you gotten any feedback regarding how successful this stuff has been with actual customers? I mean, is this going over well?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. I mean, we've got particularly around, as you mentioned, the beta community, just really incredibly positive feedback that's just really helping us feel good about the decisions that we've made as a team in terms of providing this level of user interface. I mean, you know, just a couple of quick stats in terms of, you know, 84% of these beta respondents indicating that they anticipate increased productivity, so improving the way that they work when they get up to speed associated with the new user interface. You know, in terms of just the results around how Office now better meets their needs, it's literally, here's kind of, is more fun to use. as a result of the new user interface. And in terms of making that transition, we're also getting a lot of positive feedback in terms of two-thirds of people responding, saying, you know, a couple days, and they're able to get back, able to get back to where they were from a productivity perspective, and then again with the projection of them being able to be more productive. So it's very, very positive, positive results and responses associated with this change.
From my perspective, this is Jensen again. I think the most fun thing, I mean, there's the statistics are great and make me feel really good, but for the first time in a long time, there's a sense that there's some passion around the product among the people who have started to use it, and that there is excitement about Office as people all of a sudden are awakened to the fact that the software, the productivity software they were using, isn't as good as it could be. And I think seeing that we're building this passionate user base of people who are more productive because of the work that we've done is for me the most rewarding thing, because for a long time it was sort of Office was just like, you know, the plumbing, like you had to have it in your house in order to flush the toilet. And now I think people are saying, no, this is actually a productivity boon. Like they're being taken to places they didn't think was possible. And the work that they're creating is so much better that it makes them look as if they're better at their job. And so that's fun. Like from just, you know, from the sort of our being our baby, it's great to see it sort of out in the world and succeeding and growing up.
Oh, I'm a PowerPoint idiot, and the latest version of PowerPoint has made me look like I, you know what I'm doing, which is beautiful. You know, I mean, even the default themes are really nice looking, you know.
Just a few months ago, Office 2008 was announced for Macintosh, but it's not. Is it going to include the ribbon or not? I think it's not.
Well, it's a tricky thing. So one of the things that the Mac Office team has learned is that in order to be successful, they have to conform to Apple's human interface guidelines. That Mac users really want sort of the best of Windows Office, but also it needs to be a Mac product. That it needs to feel like the Mac UI. And so they're thinking about how to bring some of the same kinds of ideas, like results-oriented design and sort of a more visual design and galleries, but still conforming to the Mac human interface guidelines. I mean, the Apple guidelines say that you have a top-level menu bar, and that's always present on the screen. Well, that right there means that you can't build a ribbon the same way you might on Windows because you still have the menu bar there. And so I think that team has done a great job of trying to bring some of the same feeling of the UI, but in a Mac-specific way in Office 2008.
Yeah, that's right. I had forgotten. And you can't really turn off the top-level menu bar on a Mac because people would get very confused.
That's exactly right. Yeah. In fact, only like full-screen games really do that.
Right, right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. How about in Outlook itself? The ribbon bar isn't as prominent. It's not there, is it? Or is it not as prominent? You'll have to forgive me. I've only used betas, and I can't remember what's in.
Yeah. So Outlook has always been sort of split up into two parts. And so there's the Outlook shell, which is the most like an Explorer window. It's the place where you manage your folders and the place where you manage your list of emails. And really, the set of commands that people use in there is relatively limited. You know, delete, reply, reply all, new, send, receive, accounts for the majority of the clicks. And so that part of the UI, in which is just sort of managing your folders and your list of items, remains the menu and toolbar-based UI in 2007. All of the rest of the product, everywhere where you're editing a mail or reading a mail or sending an appointment or creating a contact, anything that's about creating information, reading information, does have the ribbon UI and does actually take full advantage of live preview and the formatting capabilities of the ribbon and the sort of results-oriented, gallery-based UI. Outlook actually is the single biggest consumer of the ribbon we have in Office. We have the most ribbon UI in Outlook. And so although we did make a decision to have the Explorer not have it in the first version, most of the time when you're working with it, you do have the ribbon there in front of you.
So, I mean, do you anticipate that changing in the future? Do you think that...
I think that given how well received the new UI has been, that it's something that we'll definitely consider in the next version and something that people are asking for. And I certainly would much rather be in the position of having people clamoring for it than in the other position. And so we're going to look at whether that's the right thing to do in the next version or not.
You mentioned 100 independent software vendors have licensed the ribbon. Will we see the ribbon in more Microsoft products?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's been anything that we've mentioned publicly about that, but we have certainly done a lot of sit-downs with other groups in Microsoft, talking with them about whether some of these same concepts make sense for their application. I think a lot of programs at Microsoft are sort of, and in the industry at large, are facing the same types of problems with people discovering the full capabilities of what they can do with the product. And so, we're starting to do those sit-downs, which are a lot of fun. And I would expect that we'll see more and more of the ribbon-type UI at Microsoft as well.
So what happens to you guys now? Are you moving on to Office 2009 or what?
So, as you'd expect, we never rest. And once we finished up Office 2007, we always move over to start thinking about what the next version is going to be like. And, with the Office 2007 product only out for a month, it's very premature to speculate about, what that might contain. And it really is anyone's guess because it hasn't been even decided here in large part. But we're off. There's still a user experience team. I've stayed on the team. We are continuing to look at how to improve the user experience of Office. And I think it's fair to say that we still have some tricks up our sleeve. And so, we generally ship a new version of Office every 2 to 3 years. So we'll check in with you then, and so you'll be impressed.
Well, I think one thing that you can certainly say is that the ribbon, as risky as it was to wholesale change a user interface to such a successful program, the ribbon has been an unqualified success. I mean, I know I'm not alone. I think a lot of people initially quailed at the idea of changing the UI. But
sure.
Once we started using it, I think we all came to like it, right, Paul? I mean, I think there's a...
I met Jensen in person for the first time at PDC 2005, which was in the big developer show that Microsoft has every couple of years. And I recall at the time that, they had announced the Office ribbon and the UI, and it just blew away everything else. It came out of nowhere and was sort of the hit of the show. And my only fear at the time was that they were going to back off, that right. So many people would complain that they would offer a way to go back to the old UI. And I'm glad that you folks didn't do that.
Has there been much pushback from enterprise? Because I think enterprise is where people would be most nervous. Oh, we're going to have to retrain. We don't want to face that.
Yeah, it's funny because actually I think we may have initially thought that was the case also. And it hasn't really proven to be the case. In fact, most of the numbers that Jacob were quoting to you in terms of like productivity and learning curve are actually enterprise studies that we did to validate the UI in the enterprise. I think that our enterprise customers are acutely aware that in order to get the most out of their investment in Office and an investment in their workers, that having software that makes them 50% or 80% better at doing their jobs is just worth it. And so although we have provided a whole bunch of tools to make that transition as seamless as possible, I think we're seeing a lot of interest from enterprises, and actually not the sort of pessimism that you might expect. We're seeing that our customers are really optimistic about how well this is going to work for them. And I did mention the training tools, and one of the coolest ones is something called the Interactive Command Reference Guide, which mm-hmm. is a web-based prototype of Office 2003. So Paul mentioned, we didn't make it possible to go back to the old UI. Well, we did in this web-based tool that can show you, you know, Excel or PowerPoint or Word 2003 right on your screen, and you can click on a menu item, and it will bring up the new UI and show you exactly where that command is in the new UI. So we sort of think of this as like your security blanket. If you happen to get stuck, or, you know, if you ever hit a wall along the way, this can quickly get you unstuck and finding where the thing is. And, you know, we find that people really like having that, even though they don't use it as much as they think they'll need to, because the UI turns out to be pretty intuitive. For that first couple of days, it's really handy to know that it's there. And that's helped to free up a lot of our enterprise customers to feel confident about deploying it.
Yeah, I would echo that statement. It is really the best of both, which is again, people are finding and customers are finding that not a lot of training is required, but they're pleased to see us also make the investments in the tools and in those training materials, whether it's the interactive command reference that Jensen mentioned, or the fact that when we had our large public beta and went live with that, we went live with free e-learning, and one of the core courses in that free e-learning is all about the new user interface. So again, I just think that the feedback we're hearing from our customers is the product is incredible and highly intuitive, and they also feel comfortable with, for lack of a better term, that safety blanket of having tools like the interactive command reference, the e-learning, and the other assets that we've got around training and help that really, again, show their end users how to benefit from the new user interface.
I mean, it's funny. I remember Paul mentioned PDC. And I remember sitting down with Paul at PDC, and I think we were like in the food court or something.
It was, right.
It was just sort of a one-off thing, and I don't think you had really seen the UI yet. And Paul sort of sat there a little dumbfounded, sort of the look on his face at first.
Well, you were from the office team, Jensen.
What's that? Yeah. Oh, right.
I mean, you are from the office team, right? No, it was such a monumental thing. I mean, everyone came there expecting to get excited about Vista, and Office just kind of popped out of nowhere and said, surprise, you know, and it wasn't just eye candy. I mean, it was really, you could tell looking at it that something really important had happened there.
And so I think, you know, for us, what we want to see, like our best case scenario, is that everyone in the world who's capable of just gives it a try. Like, you can go download a free trial of Office online and, you know, use it for a while and download all the programs. And we really think that, as, you know, what the two of you said, if you sit down and just use it for a few days, you're not going to want to go back. You're going to see how it's going to be a benefit to you. So this is not right. One of those cases where we sort of want to, you know, trick you into buying it, and then once you get home, you're going to see there's a really steep learning curve. We want everyone to go download it, just play with it, and you're not going to want to go back.
I know you guys absolutely. I know you guys have to run, so we won't keep you much longer. I do want to thank you, Jensen, for the blog, because I think the transparency that comes from being able to hear from the guy involved with user experience really makes a big difference from the end user's point of view. And I recommend that people read Jensen Harris's user interface blog for Microsoft Office. It's really great reading, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think we knew it was going to be important to be able to explain some of the reasoning behind the UI, because people would approach it with trepidation, especially before everyone could just try it, and they were just seeing screenshots online. And so the blog is http://blogs.msdn.com/JensenH. JensenH, and if you search for Office User Interface blog, you'll find that as well. And hopefully at some point or another, I've written about just about every aspect of the UI, not just what it is, but like the stories behind it, what we were thinking, you know, were we crazy when we made this decision, or, you know, is this something that we iterated on? Like, you can find some old articles where you can see the first version we tried of things, and then you can see my sort of mea culpa the second time when I came back and said, well, we're trying this again in beta 2. And in some cases, you can see the third version where I say, okay, now we think we really got it right, and talk about what we changed each time. And so that is sort of a new thing that we tried, but we thought it was going to be really important in making a change this big.
And Jacob, you're going to do a blog any day now, right?
Yeah, that's right. I have it on the list. That's exactly right.
I think you're one of the few people on the team that does it. There's so many Office blogs. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, it is a wonderful way for us to be able to communicate directly, and I want to make sure that before I jump in that I've got I've got a lot of valuable information to share with the community at large.
And we'll defer the discussion about open document versus Office XML and so forth to another day. I think that would be a fascinating topic as well, and I know a lot of people are very interested in that.
We'd look forward to talking to you about
it. Yeah, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us,
guys. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, you both.
That's Jensen Harris, who is the Group Program Manager of the Microsoft Office User Experience Team, and Jacob Jaffe, Group Director for Microsoft Office, two of the people most responsible for changes in the way Office looks and feels. And I think that they sounded pretty relaxed and comfortable and happy. I think they should be. They have a hit.
Yeah, this is like talking to the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you should ask them where they're going. I'm going to Disney.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, it's such an amazing story, and it's so interesting. And, you know, again, I consider myself fairly well-versed in Office, you know, in particular Office applications. And I'm interested that I've had no problem moving over to the new UI in things like Word. But then, like I mentioned, PowerPoint, I used to always... 10 years ago, I'd say, we used to make fun of people that used PowerPoint because those are the people who couldn't actually get any work done, but they were really good at making presentations, you know? So I've always had sort of this chip on my shoulder about PowerPoint, but over the years I've had to use it, and I'm horrible at PowerPoint. Things like transitions and animations and all those professional effects that people know how to do, those are just beyond me. But lately, using the latest version of PowerPoint, it's amazing to me. So I know it works because when it comes to PowerPoint, I truly am an idiot, and it's just neat being able to make something professional looking without having to, you know, spend hours and days learning how to use it.
Do we have more interviews on the schedule?
Yeah, we will definitely be talking to Dave Colleton from the Zoom team. We need to reschedule that, and hopefully we shouldn't promise for next week, but we should try to shoot for that. And right. If not next week, then soon. And we still have a discussion with Internet Explorer that we never had that we should do sometime
IE7,
soon. I know.
Yeah,
we should definitely talk about that.
Yeah, well, I would like to, maybe I shouldn't say this because they'll never go on the air with us, but I would like to talk to them about IE7 and CSS problems I'm having.
Okay.
But I'll be nice.
I can't guarantee that will be the focus of the discussion.
Probably not,
One thing about IE we should say is that next month in March, Microsoft is having that Mix event that they do in, I think, Las Vegas. And a few years back at Mix was when they announced IE7. And people are expecting this year that perhaps they will announce something about IE8.
Will you be going to a Mix this year?
You know, I'm not sure. March is kind of a tough month, and I'm waiting to book any travel because we've got some family events that we haven't pinned down yet, but it will just depend on that. So
in the Thurrod family, St. Patrick's Day is practically national.
Well, you're half Irish and so forth.
You were just in Italy. You got back last night from Italy.
Yeah, I'm so tired. My eyes hurt.
You, how often do you go to Italy? Weren't you in Italy?
I've actually never been to Italy, but I go to France fairly often.
France is where you go. Okay, you do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
When we started this, you had just come back from France.
My kids woke up this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
and I went downstairs and I said, guys, I understand the time change and everything, but seriously, you need to go back to bed.
You have to.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not going
to. Did you go to Mardi Gras in Venice? What were you doing? Carnival, I guess they called it.
No. We actually went to Rome. And
how fun.
Rome, it was sort of Italy for dummies, I guess. You know, we did the starter trip, you know, just hit the capital and see what was going on
how
there.
How fun. So, oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to get you on the show. We'll see you next week. And perhaps David Colleton, but if not, I'm sure something else to talk about. There's so much to talk about.
There's always something to talk about
when you're talking about Windows. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.